Please call the roll. Please call the roll.
Senator Roussan?
Here.
Senator Bracey? Senator Baxley? Senator Bean?
Here.
Senator Bradley?
Here.
Senator Brandis?
Here.
Senator Grimsley?
Here.
Quorum present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Quorum being present, Senator Bracey is excused from today's meeting. If you wish to speak, please fill out an appearance card and give it to the administrative assistant. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will still be read into the record. Please turn off or mute all cell phones. And members may refer to Senate Legis Session Organizer to review presentation materials. It's come to my information that under tab one, Senate Bill 936, Senate Bill 936 is TP'd, temporarily postponed. That will take us then to tab two. Senators, and we will take up Senate Bill 1004 on persons authorized to visit state juvenile facilities. This bill will be presented by Senator Brandis. Senator Brandis, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill authorizes certain individuals, including but not limited to members of the legislature, the governor, and public defender, to visit all state facilities housing juvenile facilities that are operated or overseen by the DJJ between the hours of 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., and in the interim between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. As rules defined by the department. The bill specifies that a person may visit a facility before 6 a.m. or after 11 p.m. pursuant to rules prescribed by the department, and that the department may not unreasonably withhold access to reporters or writers in the media space. That's the bill. There's one amendment.
Let's take up the amendment. You want to do questions on the? Okay. Are there any questions, members of the sponsor, on the bill? Yes, you're recognized. Senator Bean.
Senator Bean, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is it not the way now? I mean, I've visited before and we just go, but it's not the case, or are you just trying to prevent in the future somebody not putting out the red carpet?
We don't believe there's specific statutory authority, and so this grants us specific statutory authority, and then we define the hours. So in the Department of Corrections, you and I can go anytime. Day or night. We thought that it would be prudent to maybe limit that a little bit because it's juveniles to 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. And then have specific rules that the department has between a 11 p.m. and a 6 a.m. visit. So it's a little bit less authority than we have in the Department of Corrections, but it gives us specific statutory authority to visit these facilities.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any more questions, members? There is one amendment, amendment barcode 245102 by Senator Brandis. Senator, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment incorporates county facilities. We have a couple of counties that operate juvenile facilities. We wanted to make sure that the individuals who had the authority to visit juvenile corrections facilities had the ability to visit the county facilities as well, so this just simply incorporates the county facilities into the larger bill.
Any questions on the amendment? Any appearance cards to speak on the amendment? Senators, we're in debate. Is there any debate? Senator Brandis, you are recognized to close.
Thanks.
On
I'll wave close.
Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We're now on the bill as amended. Are there any appearance cards on the bill? Scott McCoy, Senior Policy Counsel, Southern Poverty Law Center.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. SPLC waves in support.
Waves in support. Barney Bishop, Visit Juvenile Facilities Bill. Waves in support. There being no more appearance cards, senators, we're in debate. Is there any debate? No debate. Senator Brandis, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll wave close.
Sue, please call the roll on final passage of CSSB 1004.
Senator Bean?
Yes.
Senator Bradley?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Senator Grimsley?
Yes.
Senator Baxley? Senator Bracey? Chair Rusone?
Yes. Senators, by your vote, CSSB 1004 will be reported favorably. That takes us to tab 3 on supervised community release, also by Senator Brandis. There is a strike-all amendment. Would you wish to take that up and
yes,
explain
please.
That?
Yes.
Please take up amendment barcode 211666 by Senator Brandis. You're recognized to explain the strike-all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The strike-all amendment establishes that a supervised community release program that allows an inmate to be released at the, in the last 90 days of his or her sentence on community control on electronic monitoring. It allows for an officer to arrest an inmate who is supervised community release of the inmate who is not complying with the terms of the program, creates a process by which an inmate who has unsupervised violations of probation or community or control warrant can notify the issuing county for the purposes of initiating a resolution of such a warrant, and requires that the inmate be transported to the county where the confirmed outstanding warrant exists for a hearing to resolve the outstanding violation of the warrant. This is really our attempt to take inmates who, in their last day, get a bus pass and $50 and basically put up on the streets, and to transition that in a smoother way. So we will do a risk assessment. We will put them on electronic monitoring and try to stabilize them in their last 90 days before they reenter into society with a, you know, try to get them into a work release program, get them a job, try to stabilize their housing. This just allows us to have that decompression period back into society that we think is appropriate. It will all be based on a risk assessment. It is it's up to the discretion of the Department of Corrections for the inmates that would qualify for this program, and that it requires them to be electronically monitored throughout the time that they of their last 90 days. Today, at the end of your sentence, you get a bus pass and some dollars, and you're put upon the street. I think the more appropriate way is to decompress people back into society, and this is my attempt to stabilize individuals in that regard.
Senators, any questions? Senator Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Brandis, does this impact the 85% rule in any way?
I think it depends on how we interpret the 85% rule. Since they're still under custody and under supervision of the Department of Corrections, I don't believe under the interpretation of that this would impact the 85% rule, because they can be released to work release as well, and we would consider people on work release today serving as part of their 85%.
That's my understanding, and I just wanted to confirm. So thank you.
Senators, any other questions? And Senator, that was my question too. I wanted to be sure that they are considered still in confinement at the time this happens.
I would consider them still under the direct supervision of the Department of Corrections for the purposes of being electronically monitored. The only difference is that their head may not be sleeping on a government pillow that during the evening.
Thank you. Any appearance cards? No appearance cards on the amendment. That would lead us to debate. Senators, we're in debate.
On the amendment.
On the amendment. Seeing no debate, Senator Brandis, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
I'll waive close on the amendment.
Without objection, so the amendment adopted. We're now on the bill as amended. Any appearance cards on the bill as amended? Scott McCoy, Senior Policy Counsel, Southern Poverty Law Center. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance.
Mr. Chairman, Smart Justice waives in support of this excellent bill.
There being no other appearance cards, Senators, we're in debate. Any debate? Seeing none, Senator Brandis, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll just be brief on my close. It really is our goal here to establish a step-down period and really try to focus on stabilizing. We really are breaking our kind of criminal justice policy up into what happens before somebody enters prison and diversion, what happens in prison and the ability for them to gain occupational licenses and other things in prison. And this really focuses on reentry and the kind of the third bucket of our criminal justice reform stool, our third leg of the stool is really reentry. And we think that by this bill, we're giving the department more flexibility to stabilize these individuals so that we can lower recidivism. And it gives the department still maintains ultimate control.
Senator Brandis, having closed on the bill, Sue, please call the roll on final passage for CS for SB 1206.
Senator Bean?
Yes.
Senator Bradley?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Senator Grimsley?
Yes.
Senator Baxley? Senator Bracey? Chair Rusan?
Yes. Senators, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Let's please take up tab 4, Senate Bill 1208 on the Florida Correctional Operations Oversight Council by Senator Brandis. Senator Brandis, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And let me give you a little bit of background. Everyone knows that all members of the legislature can visit a Department of Corrections facility at any time, and many of us have taken, at least on this committee, have taken that opportunity to visit facilities. But my goal here is really to propose a opportunity for members of the state, for Floridians, a very small select group, to begin to build a core competency of visitations of prisons and to understand at a deeper level what's going on and be able to report that back up. I think, you know, the one thing about legislators is some of us will only serve 2-year terms. Some of us will serve longer. Some people have a real passion for this issue and will visit multiple facilities over their tenure, and some will visit zero facilities over their tenure. I think it's important that we have a layman's oversight role, almost an ombudsman role of individuals who have a passion for visiting facilities, understanding the needs of inmates, understanding the needs of wardens, being able to have a much clearer, more direct line of communication to us and to the department. And so my attempt to do that is by creating an oversight council. The oversight council will be comprised of 9 members appointed by the governor, Senate, president, and the speaker. Each one gets 3. It's housed within the office of the inspector general, and it created with the purpose of overseeing matters related to the corrections and DJJ with an emphasis on safe and effective operations. Specific duties will include evaluating and overseeing daily operations at DOC, conducting announced and unannounced inspections of DOC facilities, and identifying and monitoring high-risk problematic DOC or DJJ facilities. That is the bill. There is one amendment.
Questions of the sponsor? Seeing none, there is the amendment that you just referenced, barcode 536786, by Senator Brandis. You are recognized to explain the amendment.
This is a technical amendment that provides consistent language throughout the bill and ensures that oversight duties of the council apply to both DOC and DJJ facilities.
Any questions on the amendment? Appearance cards on the amendment? That leads us to debate. Senators, anyone in debate? Senator Brandis, seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on the amendment. Without objection, so the amendment adopted. We're now on the bill as amended. Any appearance cards? Scott McCoy, Southern Poverty Law Center. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance. Card indicates he's waving in opposition to the bill. Senators, is there any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing none, Senator Brandis, you recognize the close on the bill.
Thank you. And Senators, again, this is an ombudsman position. These are not paid positions. These are essentially volunteer positions or appointed positions. We will cover their per diem, and we do provide staffing for one person inside the Department of the Inspector General to just oversee the program altogether. But the goal here really is to have individuals who have a passion for visiting these facilities and trying to understand at a deeper level what's going on, that will have a tenure well beyond the 2-year tenure that many legislators have, and have a specific role and obligation to visit these facilities as an ombudsman would, or a public advocate. And that's really what I see this role being, as the public advocate for the state.
Senator Brandis, having closed on the bill, Sue, please call the roll.
Senator Bean?
Yes.
Senator Bradley?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Senator Grimsley?
Yes.
Senator Baxley? Senator Bracey? Chair Rusan?
Yes. Senators, by your vote, SBSCS for SB 1208 is reported favorably. That leads us to tab 5. We will now take up Senate Bill 1220 on custodial interrogations by Senator Brandis. Senator Brandis, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's 2018, and it's my belief that we should begin to videotape or audiotape certain interrogation proceedings done by law enforcement in certain locations. And that's the genesis of Senate Bill 1220. It requires law enforcement to record the entire custodial interrogation if it takes place at the place of detention and relates to one of the covered offenses that are enumerated within the bill. And additionally, if applicable, the bill requires a court to consider the officer's failure to record all or part of the interrogation as a factor in determining the admissibility of the statement, requires an officer to write a report explaining why they did not record the interrogation or why it was conducted at a place other than a place of detention, and allows a defendant to request and receive cautionary jury instructions when a statement is admitted into evidence that was not recorded. It exempts law enforcement agency that has adopted rules regarding recording interrogations in place of detention from civil liability, and there is one amendment.
You're recognized to explain amendment barcode 580628.
This amendment simplifies the definition of a place of detention on line 60 by removing the language in regards to a fixed location under the control of law enforcement and list the locations where it is reasonable to expect law enforcement officers to be able to electronically record interrogations. Those include a police station, sheriff's office, correction facility, prisoner holding facility, or other government facility where an individual may be held in connection with a criminal charge that has been or may be filed against the individual. This was on the suggestion of FDLE.
Any questions on the amendment? Appearance cards on the amendment. Seth Miller, Executive Director of the Innocence Project.
Innocence Project of Florida waves in support of the amendment.
Waves in support. No more appearance cards. Is there debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, Senator Brandis, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
I'll waive close on the amendment.
Without objection, so the amendment adopted. We're now on the bill as amended. Any appearance cards? Seth Miller, Innocence Project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, committee and Senator Brandis, for this great bill. If we pass this, Florida would be one of 23 states and District of Columbia, as well as the federal government, which require recording of interrogations in the federal government by the FBI. Florida has long recognized the importance of recording of interrogations because it requires it for law enforcement officers who themselves are the subject of an interrogation when they are brought in for misconduct, again, to get an accurate recording, accurate memorialization of what was in the interrogation. That accuracy is important in three specific ways. Of course, it's going to protect the innocent. False confessions are one of the leading causes of wrongful convictions, and this will allow us to see what happens in interrogation to protect those with intellectual disability and others who are prone to false confessions, to root them out before they become a part of a trial. It protects law enforcement in a number of ways. It protects against false allegations of coerced confessions, and of course, it protects court efficiency by leading to more pleas and less motions to suppress and resolving criminal cases in a more efficient manner. The costs are minimal for this bill, and we ask that the committee pass it. And thank you again, Senator Brandis, for all your support.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Scott McCoy, Southern Poverty Law. Waves in support. Carlos Martinez, Public Defender, 11th Judicial Circuit. Waves in support. Barney Bishops, Florida Smart Justice Alliance. The card indicates wave in support. Senators, we're in debate. Seeing no debate, Senator Brandis, you recognize a close on the bill.
Thank you. I think it's telling that the state would encourage this. I think this supports everyone in the process. I think we've tightened it now to a certain amount of offenses that I think are reasonable. I think we're now tightening it down to the locations. The ability for them to do audio or audio and visual recording, I think, is broad enough so that it lowers the cost, but also provides needed protections on both sides. And hopefully this will add to the efficiency of the court system and the judicial process. So with that, I look forward to your favorable support.
Senator, thank you for this good bill. I was wondering whether we had heard from the Florida Prosecuting Attorneys Association or the sheriffs in this. I intend to support the bill today, but
I think many sheriffs already do this, and obviously this is an open forum, so if they wanted to show up, they would have put in
Thank
a speaker card.
Administrative Assistant Sue, please call the roll.
Senator Bean?
Yes.
Senator Bradley?
Yes.
Senator Brandis?
Yes.
Senator Grimsley?
Yes.
Senator Baxley?
Yes.
Senator Bracey? Chair Rusan?
Yes. By your vote, Senators, CS for SB 1220 is reported favorably. I believe that's all the business.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Baxley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for filling in for Senator Bracey and for Senator Baxley today. You've been very kind. I would like the record to please reflect, move that it reflect that I vote favorably Senate Bill 1004 as amended, Senate Bill 1206 as amended, Senate Bill 1208 as amended. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The record will so reflect. Hearing no further business, Senator Grimsley moves we rise.